Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here in the KE Report. I am chatting with Ned Schmidt, founder and editor of the Value View Gold Report. And Ned, I first want to talk about gold when it comes to other currencies. My conversation yesterday with Jordan Royburn, he was looking at gold against foreign currencies more as a basket and outlined that this had just hit a new all-time high. And when you break it down to individual currencies, there are a wide range of currencies where gold is at all-time highs. And if you look at gold against the euro, that is very close to being at another all-time high. It's really just the U.S. where gold is a little ways off of that all-time high, but we are seeing gold play a bit of catch-up here. How important do you think it is to see how well gold has been performing in other currencies as kind of a barometer for where it might go against the U.S. dollar?
The number of currencies where gold is making new highs is like the high-low line, which is a cumulative of highs minus lows, that is used in the stock market. It's a measure of the internal strength of the market. You've got to think of it in terms of gold being a global market that trades 24 hours a day, and you're looking at components of that market. And so we've got new all-time highs. We've got a new cycle high in the U.S. dollar gold. But in other currencies, the British pound, the yen, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, the rupee, the Mexican peso, are all at all-time highs in gold. China is close and Russia is close. So what you've got is you've got the internal strength of the global gold market very strong, and there is no reason for it to falter, because we've got, I hate saying every central bank, let's say 99.9% of the central banks in the world are trying to devalue their currency. When that happens, the escape valve for that attempt is gold. It has to be something. It's not going to be Facebook stock. And so gold is that escape valve for central bank irresponsibility.
And historically, it always has been, right? This is where money moves into gold when you see a devaluation of currency. And that could very much be a reason why we're seeing a lot of, it seems like, institutional money move into gold, because a lot of what we're seeing is increased volume on stuff like the COMEX and London Exchange and gold ETFs. That shows more of an institutional buyer, doesn't it?
I would think so, especially when you're talking about the futures markets. That's more likely institutions. But when you're seeing the volume in ETFs, it's probably institutions plus individuals, because the ETF is priced in a way that's attractive to the individual. And while there are individuals that foolishly trade futures, they're more likely to be a cash buyer with the cash that's in their account than go to the futures market for most people. They don't understand it, and they've heard horror stories from their friends. And the other thing is that what I call the great Federal Reserve lie is that we haven't had any inflation. Well, a $1,999, that's 20 years ago. That's Greenspan, Bernanke, Yellen, and the dollar killer Powell. The value of a $1,999 is roughly 65 cents today. So in the last 20 years, we've destroyed 35% of the purchasing power of the dollar. And people haven't come to recognize that yet. So we're a long way from it gold being an inflation hedge.
Well, and I guess that's one thing that I think some people are seeing, but quite frankly, too, with just the way central banks are managing currencies around the world, there just seems to be this lack of, in a real sense, dollar or other currencies holding their value. But Ned, it does still seem like we're pretty early on in this potential longer run bull market because of how long that bear market and even bottoming process took. Do you think, though, because we have moved, I think it's $200 in just a matter of a couple months, do you think that we're starting to finally get some of that FOMO coming into the gold market, that fear of missing out that we haven't seen, or, well, we've actually seen in other markets, but hadn't extended to the precious metals yet?
I think we saw some of that in the some of that missing out attitude in the last, let's call it, 2 weeks. But it's not strong enough to be worried about it. And there's more to come because it's like the Chinese currency devaluation. It was a one-day event on Monday, and people went back to buying stocks on Tuesday. You know, okay, they devalued, we'll go on from here. This whole process is just beginning. And again, I go back, you've got to go back and look at 1930 when we had the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act and banks started to crumble. China has already had two banks get in trouble. And so trade wars and when they go to, in other words, in 1930, it was a trade war purely with tariffs. This time we got the tariffs, plus we got people trying to devalue their currency, which is just going to make the whole, whatever it's going to be, worse. And gold is the refuge in this kind of environment we're looking at. It's gold is not going to be confiscated like Roosevelt did in the 30s. So we don't have to worry about that this time.
So, Ned, do you think that it's smarter to just be buying physical then? Or are you still advocating to some of your subscribers get into some of these ETFs?
I think people should have physical gold first. Then, if they want to add more above some physical level, to use the ETFs. But your first choice should always be gold coins.
Now, is that for more of that buy and hold strategy? Because in all fairness, a lot of what you end up seeing is people buying metals and then just sitting on them, which is fair, but it's not so much an investment.
That's what I want them to do, Corey. The temptation that people have to avoid is they buy an ETF and in 6 or 7 or 8 days they got a 3% profit, so they want to take it. No, I want you to be trapped with some physical gold. And I have a brand new granddaughter. And I, you know, they don't need any toys, so I give them money. And I'm really torn that 20 years from now, when she is going to college, that dollar is only going to be worth 65 cents. It makes more sense for me, for my granddaughter, to give her some gold coins. Well, I'm not going to give them to her. I'm going to give them to her mother. Because it won't get sold. It's going to go in a safety deposit box, and 20 years from now, when she goes to college, she'll take them out and sell them. I want people to stay out of this trading mentality. They're going to do like they did with options on Apple or Facebook. They get a profit and they're going to sell it. And then they're back to, what do I do now?
Yeah. Hey, that is, you know, kind of the balance, right? Whether people are looking at buying something and holding it for 20 plus years, or if they are looking at kind of managing a portfolio and being a more active trader. I think there's a good balance in both, and also a good opportunity in both, even with gold, depending on how you trade it, or if you just more buy and hold. Because quite frankly, as I said, this seems like kind of early stage bull market. Ned, do you have any idea, because of how long, as I mentioned, the bear market was and this bottoming formation, do you have any idea of how long this future bull market could go on to, or do you even care about that?
Well, there is no good rule. There are people that try to put together a rule. I think you have investors should have at least a superficial understanding of Elliott Wave, because it, in its grand scheme of things, it is an amazing explanation of how markets work. We're in a major three-way, which should carry above major wave one. So we're looking at somewhere out the future, a new bull market high for dollar gold, just like gold has been going to new highs in other currencies. So dollar gold is the laggard, and the world will finally catch up with the laggards. In a bull market, at some point in the bull market, investors and traders start looking for those groups that have not moved. So we haven't had those investors coming in and looking for dollar gold.
I think they're at least starting, though. It seems like they're starting to look at that market just by how quickly it's moved and when that breakout happened above that multi-year range that it was in. Gold did just, for the most part, keep on moving higher after a few weeks of just consolidating that breakout. So people are starting to take notice.
I think the gold stocks are forcing them to. The gold stocks have been so exceptionally strong. I mean, the average gold stocks went up 20% since a month ago. It's hard to ignore that if you are a performance-oriented investor, like institution. So I think people are, but it's a slow process, because people still have this mentality, well, it crashed from 1900. Yeah, okay, it did. But it's not crashing now. Coming into the modern era. And investors, I should remember, you've got the Federal Reserve on your side this time. They are going to lower rates again. I don't know if September will be it, but they have said that they have ceased their liquidation of the bond portfolio. They're going to be buying new government debt. So you've got the Federal Reserve on your side, like you haven't had it in a decade. And you're getting confirmation, Corey. I think the move of silver over $17 was a meaningful move. And Corey, I think silver dollar has to be happy now.
I think he does too. And you know what? I think you're spot on in the sense that it's the Fed now joining the party to be very gold friendly with their policies. And in all fairness, some other central banks, even though they didn't get in any rate hikes, kind of like the ECB, they've also turned very gold positive with their policies. So this is one of the major changes that happened at the tail end of last year, where gold has been climbing very nicely. Hey, Ned, it's great having you on the show. If anybody wants more information on Ned's newsletter, the Value View Gold Report, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Ned, thanks again for your time today.
All right, bye, Corey.